Well, Remnant, good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Thursday, June 22nd. I'll say the world says Happy Pride Month. We'll start off talking a little bit about that, but first we're going to pray because that's what we encourage you to do, and I hope that you do that. I sure do my best to start the day, to start trips, to start travel or whatever it may be, seeking God's blessings. And as we plan on doing things, we certainly do our best to include, if God wills it, in those plans. But welcome to the program and join me in prayer, won't you? Well, Lord Jesus, we do come to you. And as I prayed before the program, Lord, I ask for your blessings on this program. Lord, guide and direct me, Lord, through your scriptures and the current events that I would like to share tonight with the remnant. I ask your blessings, Lord, on my thoughts, on all that is before us. Lord, these are perilous times that we are in, but Lord, we look to your word and not to our surroundings for guidance and for help and for protection. And we look to your word and your, Lord, your blessings and your promises, and not to our enemy, not to those that don't believe you, that fight against you, Lord, even though they may be in leadership positions. Lord, we look not to them, but to you. Lord, we know that our help comes from you, and we thank you for that. Thank you for that blessed assurance that you give us. Lord, I pray for your wisdom and guidance tonight. I thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord, and to be encouraged by your word, Lord, as opposed to discouraged by the things that we see happening in the world. Thank you, Lord. I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight, and I pray your blessings on the remnant, Lord, those that love you, that serve you. Lord, help them to see and believe and receive your blessings, your promises, your grace, your mercy, your protection, and your peace. And we glorify you in this, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. We glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And again, Remnant, I don't call it Pride Month. That's what the enemy does. And wanted to start out tonight. Got a note from a sister. And this is what it says. Pride. All we hear about is Pride Night, Pride Month. Pride, pride, pride. What does the Bible say about it? It says something quite different than what we're hearing. Let's take a look in Proverbs, which is wisdom, right? Proverbs. Proverbs 16 is, you've heard me say it before if you've listened in, the Bible many times uses contrast, black versus white, right versus left, sheep versus goats. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Well, there's some that don't hear his voice. They are not his sheep. And so there's throughout the scripture, there's this contrast. Right before it in Proverbs 15:13, it says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. See, there's a contrast. There's a contrast there. So Proverbs 16 talks about pride. Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18, in celebration of Pride Month, let's talk about pride. At least start out tonight. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. How about that? Pride goes before destruction. And what that means is when you have lots of pride, that's it gets wiped out and gone right before destruction. It goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before stumbling. So when you see proudness, pride, and a haughty spirit, know that destruction and stumbling are on its way. They are following close behind. The rest, verse 19 says it's better. See, there's that contrast. You know, many of us sometimes, we get prideful. Maybe we get prideful in what we've done, in accomplishments that we've made, maybe what we've done for God, for the Lord. And we are to repent of that. We are not to be prideful. I think of the story, I didn't have it looked up for tonight, but it comes to mind of, aren't we told that, hey, if you're invited, don't just take yourself to the head of the table. Don't sit up front. No, stay in the back, right? Take a lowly seat, a more humble, be humble in situations. And then, well, if nothing happens, well, you've humbled yourself and you don't have that haughty spirit that stumbling follows after. And it also gives the opportunity for someone to say, hey, don't sit back there in the bad seats. Come up front, brother or sister. Come up front here. And it gives that opportunity if it's to be taken. Right? And so we're not to have that haughty spirit. Oh, I'm here now, so now you can start. Yes, now that you've had to wait on me. And no, wait, I'll go take that front seat. No, that's not the way to be. It's not. It says it's better. It's better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. See, it's better, even if those that are proud, the pride, even if it seems like they get the spoil, they get the best. But that pride, it says it goes before destruction and stumbling. And so it's better for us to stay away from that, to do our best to be humble in spirit with the lowly. You know, that's how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. He was humble in spirit. And he associated with the lowly. And I'm sure glad he still does that today. Because if not, I wouldn't be here. But he does. He associates with the lowly. And that's why we're all here, folks. It is, no matter what we think of ourselves, of why we've been privileged to come to understand and come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then on top of that, to come to understand the Anglo-Israel message, that the Germanic, Caucasian, Scandinavian, Celtic kindred people of the old world, of the old European lands, are the Israel, the Hebrew people of the Bible. And that history has been rewritten. Because up until about 110, 120 years ago, that was common knowledge. But to the victor go the spoils. And it's the victor that writes the history. And so now most of the history that you find, It just doesn't compute. That's anti-Semitic. But truth is truth, no matter what. And we are to be humble in spirit with the lowly. And that's what we are. That's what we strive to be anyway. Again, as opposed to these prideful. Now, one more note that I've got on this, that when it's better to be lowly spirit, that reminded me along the lines of what we read in Mark 9, when Jesus says it's better for this. Now, when Jesus said it was something was better, that means that's better. That's better. Let's read it. Mark chapter 9. I'm gonna start in verse 40. And Jesus says, because this is another Bible principle that we need to understand, that we need to have I think, just as important as by their fruits you shall know them. Because that's a very important biblical principle that we need to understand today. I see the phone lines ringing, so let me go to that. Hey, good evening and welcome to 7x70.
Hey, Richard. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
Good. You know, you just, I wasn't going to call tonight. I was going to listen. But you hit the nail right on the head. The ADL has stopped a video called Europa, the Last Battle, that was in Amazon and people could view it. And you just nailed it. It's a video about the war and what really occurred. And the winners do write the history books and the propaganda.
Yes.
And I encourage the world. I know you you worldwide, and I encourage everybody to look at this video because it's pretty scary. It tells you the true story of what really happened. And I think a lot of people are starting to catch on now.
You know, I think they are. And it's because of what the enemy is doing, because they are, the harvest draws near. And I think they sense it, and they are pulling out all the stops. They're not trying to hide it anymore, whether it's Satan worship or what they've done in the past, or their hatred for Christians and any and anything and everything that's good and right and proper. Richard, you shared with me you came out of Catholicism, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
56 years.
And there's many on the ministry that have, okay? I'm not calling you out. I've remembered that.
No, that's fine.
We've talked, and I saw this note, and my sister married into Catholicism, and for years, my wife and I, as we were just married and a few years later looking to have a family and had my son, who's 33 now, and we always envied, and we weren't Christian yet, we always envied what the community that my sister had in this Catholic community. They all, you know, the children all went to the Catholic school. They had known each other. They were in this little small town outside of a big town down south. From the outside, it was very appealing. And it is actually what got my wife and I on the journey that we found this ministry, because we were looking for, you know, a sense of home, a sense of family, and we saw that.
Right.
We saw that in this community, that my sister had married into. Now I'm talking, they've been married, 50 years, I'm sure, something like that. Probably.
Yeah, you're from Virginia, right?
No, Central Florida. Florida and Georgia and way down south. And so I just mentioned that. It comes to mind, Richard, that because it set us on this journey. Now, we didn't want to be Catholic. We didn't agree with, their whatever, Hail
praying
Marys.
Praying statues. And,
yeah, and all that. You know,
that's what I've heard for years.
Right, we at least saw that.
Yeah.
But it was that sense of family and that closeness and community that was there. And I tell you, I saw a very similar thing with the Mormons out in Salt Lake City. If you drive, you drive out to Salt Lake City, and it is the most beautiful place you've ever seen. And clean, there's no trash on the side of the roads, whether you're on the interstate or you get off on a big road or you're in a little town community. It's just the cleanest. I mean, it's very appealing from the outside. Now once you get into it, it's not Christian or biblical. Like Catholicism is not. But from the outside, and I'm off on a tangent. This really wasn't even what I wanted to talk about. But
when
Catholicism comes up, it's what comes to mind. But from the outward appearances, looks good.
Yeah.
And
you know,
And it's not that they're evil people. I think that the majority of them are misled. They're taught wrong. And
absolutely.
This is how mom was and dad and grandma and grandpa. And so this is how we are.
Yep. It's a feel-good thing. You know, people go to church, they feel good.
Right.
And they feel good for that hour they're in church. And when they come out, they like just, they're looking at their watches. They're ready to go for their football game. And, their barbecue chicken wings and all that stuff. But the church is meaningless. It feels good to the people out of there at the time, you know, but they didn't learn anything.
Right.
Half of them are going to sleep. I used to go to sleep as a child in church, really. Didn't learn anything. And I had a grandmother, she'd be over 100 now if she's still alive, and she was a very staunch Catholic. And times were different back in the 60s and 70s than they are now. But they still didn't know. They really didn't know.
Right.
And I thank your church, and I thank you guys, because y'all making a difference in this world. And it's churches like you that are really helping our people to open their eyes.
Well, thank you, Richard. And it's your church as well. You know, it's not that,
I know.
It's,
I mean, I know.
Because that's what makes it up is the people. You know, the people that that tune in, the people that follow, the people that support. It's our church. It's our gathering.
Absolutely.
Our, you know,
absolutely,
however you put it.
Yes, it really is. I do feel like I'm part of the family.
Good. Saw this.
I really do.
Saw this headline today. Catholic cardinal urges Americans to give up their right to keep and bear arms. Powerful and influential American Catholic cardinal Joseph Tobin of Newark, New Jersey, has written a letter urging the American people to give up their Second Amendment freedom to keep and bear arms. He says, amid a mounting debate in America over the constitutionality of gun control, Cardinal Joseph Tobin of Newark has entered the fray with a different argument, that people should voluntarily forego their Second Amendment rights for the betterment of society. How about that?
Yeah.
Now,
go look and see what happened to the Bolsheviks.
Every... You know, Richard,
what they did to Russian Christians back then.
And in
people
Korea
need to see that.
And Vietnam and Poland and Czechoslovakia and the Ukraine. I recommend you, folks, I haven't been able to get it, but if you're tuning in, look up a book called Execution by Hunger. Execution by Hunger. And it's where Stalin's Russia basically all but wiped out the Ukrainian farmers in the 30s. Execution by Hunger. It's a fantastic, historically truthful look at what communism is. And that's all this Cardinal Tobin is promoting. The betterment of society, the better of a communistic society, because they want a people unarmed. It fits here. It's just as simple. He's a false prophet, right? He talks about here. He says, I honestly believe it's the best thing we can do to change the culture of violence that threatens us today. Yeah, take away my right to protect me and my family from that culture of violence. I'm not violent. I'm not violent as long as my family's
exactly.
not threatened. But if my
exactly.
family is threatened, I'm going to be the most violent man you've ever met. You're going to think that Rambo is a pussycat. and that's not boasting. No, that is not.
That is a
spirit of humility. But that is what God has put upon us. That is what we read in the scriptures.
You're a man. You have to protect your family.
We have to. That is our godly duty.
That's right.
And what this cardinal puts out, a culture of violence. We don't have a culture of violence. We have a culture of a lack of morality is what we have. And I'm hoping people will use those type terms. You know, when you hear about gun violence, it's not gun violence, it's lack of morality. When you hear about these sins in the land, that's what it is. Gun violence is a misnomer. And this Catholic, I would say, well, you know, if your Catholic priest would stop molesting boys, that would help the families out a whole lot better. Now, that's a lack of morality. It absolutely is. And, you know, he says, let's voluntarily set aside our rights in order to witness the truth that only peace and never violence is the way to build a free society that is lived concretely in our homes, our neighborhoods, our communities, our nations. I think I just read last night Freedom, about freedom, and I just am drawing a blank where it was. Let me see if I can find it real quick. But we're told not to let our freedom, we've been given freedom in Christ.
God-given freedom.
Right. First Peter. Yep. Let me flip over there real quick. I hope you're all right to stay here for a second.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah,
no, I'm fine.
First Peter. Yeah. Let's see if this is it. Yeah. Well, it's not, but it works. First Peter 2:16. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Bond slaves of God. That's what. Our freedom is given to us for. And then Galatians. Let me see if I can. Here's Galatians. Yeah, maybe not. Anyway, you know, that's what we have freedom to serve God. To serve God.
Right.
And to seek. What does he say? To seek things like righteousness and justice. That's what he desires. He doesn't desire us just to raise our hand and say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I you know, Jesus, forgive me. And then that's it. And sit on the couch.
And then tomorrow you sin again.
And right.
Do it over again.
Right. And get your
and
little...
You pray the next night for the same sins you made the day before.
Yeah. Now, we may have to do that. You know, we may have to.
I know. I do.
You
myself.
Know, but...
We're to be doers.
We're to be these doers of the word. You know, and they talk about gun violence. You know, the first murder that's recorded in the Bible, Cain killed Abel with a rock.
Right.
Right.
Right. Smashed his head.
Rocks did not get banned. You know, you look at a stone in the hand of David when he
but
said.
But he was so arrogant, too.
That's right.
He was so arrogant when
that's
he
right.
told God. He was so arrogant and said. Who am I? My brother's keeper?
Right. See, that's a morality problem. That's a morality problem. And we see how, you know, how he had no morals.
Yeah.
You contrast that with David. Guess what? A stone in David's sling struck down the giant.
I know, a giant.
And we talk about it several thousand years later. So see, it's not the rock. It's not the rock, the stone that... That's the problem. And so today, it's not the gun that's the problem. It's not the firearm.
Right.
I'm Richard, I'm 50. I turned 58 in May. And I went to a little high school in Central Florida. And at 81, 82, 83, graduated in 83. And country,
I'm 84.
Rural, okay, out in the country. Every pickup truck had a gun rack in the back. With a 30-30 or a 22 and a shotgun.
Same here.
Every pickup truck. And those guns were loaded. And those trucks were unlocked.
Unlocked. That's
unlocked.
Right.
In the school parking lot.
That's
and
right.
No problems.
On school campus.
On school campus.
That's right.
I can remember, I've told it before, but I can remember I grew up at a trap and skeet club out there. I started working in eighth grade and worked out there through junior high school and first year of college. And I remember we got a, new to us, it was used, but it was a Remington 1100, semi-auto 12-gauge.
Gotcha.
And, and I had it on a Wednesday in the trunk of my car with probably 200 shotgun shells, 200 rounds of ammo. And I remember I was out in the parking lot to get something out of my car, and the assistant principal, Mr. Payne, how about that? Mr. Payne, he was a retired Marine, and he was an assistant principal, and he came up walking by, and Mr. Payne, I got to show you this. Look at this. And I opened the trunk. Now, the trunk was locked, but, you know, I mean, the trunk is locked. You can't not lock it. And had it in the gun case. I said, got a new 1100. Unzipped it, handed it to him. He opens it, you know, throws it up to his shoulder, swings around.
Nice.
Man,
action.
That's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
Make sure
yeah.
it's unloaded, puts it back in the gun case. Sees I have 200 rounds of ammunition there. Hey, it looks nice.
Right.
And that was it.
Right.
That was
Sounds
it.
It
because it was a difference in morality. A difference in morality.
They distorted things.
That's right.
They, pastor talks about they.
Yep. That's what they do. Well, they are the enemies of Christ, and they are your enemy and my enemy. That's who they are.
The tares.
Right, the tares. So, you know, when we hear gun violence, correct that. Say, oh, no. That's just a lack of morality that causes violence, right? Because if everybody was Christian, well, we'd love God and love our neighbor. And if you love your neighbor, you don't form violence against him. And so it's because the Christianity has decreased that we have this violence. But it's not, you know, gun violence is like an assault weapon, the term assault weapon. What's an assault weapon? There's no definition. It's whatever. It's just a scary misnomer, right?
It's a word. Yeah.
It's a word. That's right. It's just a term that's used to strike fear that, oh, these racist
Correct.
White men that have assault weapons.
And who know? Are they? Who are they that like throwing them words around?
Yes.
You know, there's always the words.
Yes.
You know, racist, anti-Semitic, all these bullshit words. Sorry.
Yeah. That's a very apt description. It is. You know, I mentioned Sunday morning before. I think I might have talked about it in the sermon too. But our president was quoted, read from a script just maybe 10, 12, 15 days ago now, that parents who are not embracing transgenderism and gender-altering, mutilating surgery for their children are cruel, bigots. I forget the other one.
And, now, how ridiculous is that?
And terroristic. Terroristic. So he calls our president calls me and you terrorists.
I know.
And
they
so
drag him out the White House,
right?
And make an example out of him.
Well, they throw those things out there just to, you know, because there'll be somewhere they'll write some laws, maybe New Jersey or New York or Portland, Oregon or something, and they'll put that in. You know, because that's how they think. That's to them, to the evil ones, the good guys are terrorists. Just like to us, you know, the ragheads that want to blow people up or whoever, they're terrorists because they terrorize us. Well, to the evil, we are the terrorists. And that's what I mean, too, about it's just that the end of times, it's the harvest that comes. They're not holding back any.
Richard, I think the Muslims don't like us because they know who runs the country, and they hate those people.
Right.
They've been at war with those people for a long time. Even though they're brethren in blood, they hate one another.
Yeah.
And they know those people, the tares, I'll just say that, they run this country.
Yeah, they do.
From the top down.
They know it. Did you hear what happened in Hamtramck, Michigan? It's a little suburb of Detroit. Did you hear about that?
I think I have, yeah.
I'll go over it real quick. The all-Muslim Hamtramck, Michigan City Council. And I reported on this a couple years ago.
They threw out the LGBTQ stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I reported on this a couple years ago to our shame.
Yeah.
That here we have an all-Muslim mayor and
terrible,
city council and all that. And I still hold to that. It is to our shame. But you know what? We are to be shamed. But they voted unanimously.
100%.
They voted unanimously. Town of 27,000. And their city council voted unanimously, not to fly the LGBTQ pride flag with the city over the city buildings. Said, nope. City, state, city, state, and flags from nations represented by our population can fly there, but none other. And they're the only city council that I know of that's been reported that has done that.
Now, they got more guts than the Christian.
You got some others that are starting to do it. Even Orange County Board of Supervisors voted
that
in California,
that's
only
good.
Government flags should fly from county buildings. And so, see, you're seeing...
Wow, in California? You said in California?
Yeah, yeah, Orange County.
Wow,
you're seeing
I thought that might have been Florida.
You're seeing Orange that County. Pick up and happen more and more. Because, see, that's what happens. You get one person that stands up, right? And then another one. And then another
it's
one.
It's like dominoes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then another one. There's
because people get guts, man. They get guts. Why do Christian people are not standing up for their people, man? It's just amazing to me, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's been a spell in the land, you know, because the people have his law written on their heart, right? That's,
I know.
That's the part of the new covenant is that he writes his laws on our heart. They look to religion, what they think is Christianity. And what do they get? Well, they get...
And didn't God glaze over their eyes?
Exactly.
And their ears?
Exactly. God says, I'll do that. I've smeared your, whitewash over your eyes and plugged up your ears.
Because he
says, if we will not have a love for the truth, that he will delude us with a lie.
That's incredible.
And it all fits, man. Right, and that's what's happened. And so, Pastor Peters used to call his followers truth junkies.
I know.
He said, that they were like drug junkies, just after another hit. Just give me one more hit. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care if I lose my family. Just give me one more truth. Give me one more.
Can I ask you a question? Quick question.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right. There's people that you'll talk to that'll say, yeah, I'd like to know the truth. I'd like to know this. I'd like to know that. But most people will tell you, and I got people in my family now, that don't care. Or they'll tell you, I don't care, and I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how crazy is that?
Right.
Not wanting to know.
That's just standard operating procedure in the society today. Richard, I think, just about anybody that you were to talk to as a member of our extended congregation or that know this truth would say, yeah, me too. Me too. Because that's how so many people are. They don't want to know because, see, then, one, what do they have to do? They're going to have to admit that they were wrong. And don't you see that in society all over today?
To me, that's not a big deal. I do that every night. I pray.
Well, you do, but that's the exception to the rule. That's why you're part of the remnant. It's just I had a person describe the remnant talking about carpet remnants. A carpet store will have remnants on sale. Half price.
I got you.
Or they'll have little doormat size pieces left over from a huge job, and that's a remnant, right? It's just a little, a little scrap.
Yeah, a little scrap.
And God said, my people will be like the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. Many nations, right? Fathers of many nations, a multitude of nations.
Yeah.
And that certainly doesn't apply to the Jews. Because they've never been that. They've always had a real good count. They pride themselves on how many people they have. Whereas the Caucasian, the Celtic, the Germanic, the European, and American,
we all got great nations.
They're you just can't count them. I mean, they're untold. But even with all that,
if the Jews are the chosen people, how come they're the most corrupt people in the entire world? Follow what I'm saying?
That's a very good
question.
They have
all the money. You know that. I don't have to tell you. You know.
And you can ask people, who runs the banking institute? I had a neighbor. I had a neighbor about 2 years ago that he came to me and he said, did you know that the Federal Reserve is not a federal institution.
Private owned.
And it's private owned. And he said it's owned by five families. And they basically control the finances in this nation. And I said, really?
Guess what? $400 trillion.
Yeah.
That's what their net worth is.
But I just say that because, you know, see, people are starting to wake up. City councils and neighbors and some here and some there. And
I know.
And the more that the enemy does what they do, the more that they push Pride Month, guess what? Here was some things, this about that city council. Here, my notes start. Pride Month. Anheuser-Busch, latest, they've lost $27 billion since the boycott.
Imagine that, huh?
Target, down $15 billion. Kohl's, they've slashed their prices on all their Pride and queer stuff.
Cracker Barrel, we got a bunch of them.
Cracker Barrel's been devastated.
Even the Ford Motor Company.
Right.
You seen that Raptor truck?
Sales are down. Yep. The even Starbucks, it says, initiated a no decorations policy prior to the start of June. And the company didn't refer to Pride. No, we're not going to celebrate Pride. But they just focused on all kinds of decorations in their establishment. We're not going to decorate, right? That's what they came up with. And then there were some, I think it was outside of Boston, these middle schoolers. The whole school had been plastered with all this Pride stuff. Middle schoolers, I guess that's like 7th, 8th grade.
Unbelievable.
And these some of them, they went around tearing it down. And they said, we're not going to have it. They said, our pronouns.
That's good.
They said, our pronouns are USA. See, that's that
that's
one
all.
Nation under God. That's what they're telling them. Listen, don't,
that's
you know,
all.
Just be, you know, we're part of one nation under God. And, the uproar that has been causing. But it is, the more that the enemy does, just like this Catholic cardinal, oh, yes, it's for peace, brother. Give up your guns. Just get rid of them. It's for peace. The more he says that, guess what? The more gun sales go up.
Yeah, I just bought me a double barrel not too long ago.
Nice. And you know, our brother Jason has been mentioning it for about a year or so. And gun prices, ammunition prices, they're available and they're affordable right now. And so guess what, folks?
Absolutely.
That'd be the time to do it. You know, when prices are good, that's the time to stock up.
Yep.
You know, that's the time to do that. And not just, I'll have people ask me about, like, concealed carry classes. Had a lady younger than me, so that's a young lady, just last week asked me about it. And, you know, she said, yeah, I travel a little bit, and I'm going to get a pistol and this and that. And I told her, you have to take the class. You don't legally, but I strongly
urge it really is.
People to do that. If you're even if you're very familiar with firearms, ex-military trained, if you're gonna get a concealed carry permit, take the class. Take two or three, as a matter of fact, if you can. Oh, I'll get on a list, and this, you know, so what? You know, don't worry about it. But take the class. So you have a better understanding. You have a better understanding of how law enforcement in your state or community views.
That's the thing. You nailed it right there because, you know, you're responsible for where your bullet goes.
That's right.
Okay. And I had a law enforcement man tell me that. And that's absolutely right. You should take a class.
Absolutely.
Even if you know you're in a concealed carry or whatever, down here in Louisiana, you have to take the course.
Good.
To be able to conceal.
Good.
You have to.
Good.
The law.
I recommend it. I do. And then on top of that, really ammunition prices are getting back down. They're not pre-COVID. We've been out here 22 years, and we live 15 miles outside of town. And, you know, room to kind of stretch out a little bit. And it was when my boys were growing up, 15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago, it was nothing to give them a brick or two of 22 ammo. That's 500 rounds.
I remember you were talking about this the other night.
And say, hey, go, you know, guys, it's a Saturday afternoon, go shoot some prairie dogs. So what I understand that's what a privilege that has been, and my boys understand that as well. to be able to do that. But even now, you know, practice.
They white, right? They white, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's that white privilege they got,
yeah.
Huh?
That's that white privilege. That's right. I got to remember that one. I hadn't thought of that one. I'm going to tell them that, too. Yeah, don't forget your white privilege.
I'm just making a little joke.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, the other part of it was Dad was buying those bricks. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But
Dad had to work to get the money to do that.
That's right.
I get
that's
it.
Right. And yep. But even now, you know, it's one thing to have a like you mentioned, that double barrel or a pistol or whatever. But, you know, prices are such now that you can practice.
Yeah.
You can practice with something, whether it's a trap or skeet league or a membership at the rifle range. It's just not a bad idea to be proficient at that. You know, I talked a week or two ago about what do you practice? The Bible talks about that, right? And we're to practice things like the fruit of the Spirit, you know, kindness and gentleness and things like that. And we are to practice those things. We're to look for opportunities to let our light shine as followers of Jesus Christ. That doesn't just happen. You know, you don't just ignore everything that's going on. And then when something big really happens, all of a sudden you pop in there and you're Johnny on the spot and got it all figured out. That's not how it works.
We were talking about that last night. The flesh and the spirit.
Right.
You know, that's what I get out of what you're telling me right now, the flesh and the spirit.
It is. And we are to be doers, so we are to practice. You know, you get good at prayer by practicing. You get good at understanding the Bible by reading the Bible, you know. And guess what? You get proficient at marksmanship by practicing shooting. And that's not a bad thing, you know. If you want to be a marathon runner, what do you got to do? You got to get out and run. You got to get out and practice, you know. You got to practice.
Yeah.
My son, my youngest son, he's 18, and he locally for the last two or three years, he's done this. They have it on TV sometimes. This Ninja Warrior stuff, you know. They jump around and climb ropes and all kind of weird stuff. So a place opened in our little town, Laramie, and he went in there and started doing it. And he's, you know, lean and strong.
He's young.
He's young, strong. And he's been doing it a few years. And so, you know, he's gotten much better at it as he's practiced.
Right.
As he's practiced. And and that's what it takes, whether it's in the physical or in the spiritual. It works both ways.
Gotcha.
It really does. And these things we are to practice, you know, looking out for others, you know, looking for opportunities to pray for other people, to help other people, to do that, to be a good neighbor. You know, we're to love our neighbors ourselves. And in my prayers, I pray that. I pray for my neighbors. I thank God for good neighbors, you know, in our community, in our county, in our state, in our nation, in our country.
Yeah.
And I pray for God to help me be a good neighbor. And so, you know, to do that, you have to look for opportunities. You have to practice. So maybe get out of your comfort zone and practice, you know, being a good neighbor. And the more you practice, the better you get. You know, it's
absolutely
like that with anything, talking in front of people. You know, being able to get up and maybe talk in front of a city council or a school board. I've got a neighbor that 2 weeks ago she
people get nervous.
She was getting up in front of her school board and we'd been praying and you know her family and mine and in the community and stuff and she did great. You know she and she said she was really surprised at that and I told her, I said, well, you know, you asked for prayer. And you had your husband's blessings for it, and you were representing your family. And she's like the, you know, the head of the local PTA at the little school out here. And you know, she's had practice.
Might take us to the next level.
Yeah, and that's what it was. You know, she's done stuff with the volunteer fire department. She's done stuff with the little local the school and the school board and the little farmers market. And,
right.
And so I you know, you see these things. It's like, well, don't be surprised. You prayed about it and you've practiced. And now I know the Bible says, you know, don't worry about what you're going to say when you're brought before governors and stuff. And I think that's a different aspect on it, you know.
Gotcha.
When it hits the fan, if something like that happens, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to, you know, to guide us and to give us either words to say or things to do. But I think it sure doesn't hurt. You know, like the Bible says, that physical exercise benefits some. It benefits a little. And so I think we should do what we can. You know, if you can't go buy 10,000 rounds of ammo and go down to Gunsight in Arizona and spend a month at a shooting course and all that, oh, I understand. I can't do that either.
Right.
I'd love to.
Right, exactly.
But I can't do that.
No.
You know, but again, you can look for opportunities to be proficient. If nothing else, to protect your family.
Well,
you
that's
know,
it.
To
that's
protect
right.
your
you
family.
I consider myself a lucky guy. I have a couple of flatboats, and I'm sure you're familiar with flatboat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Down south.
Yeah, are you part of that Cajun Navy? Is that what it is?
No, actually, I'm not part of the Cajun Navy, but I do have two boats that I probably could offer them if they needed it.
Sure.
But me and my wife, just the other day, we went down in the bayou, and we you know, in a secluded area. And we were shooting the shotguns, and she's never shot a gun before, so I had to get her some practice.
Yes.
And she did really good with her 9mm, man. She really
nice.
Did.
Good.
But we were on a bayou doing it, and we was blowing up the marsh.
Nice. That's
I'm
good
I'm a lucky
to hear.
Man. I thank God every day. That I don't have a lot, but I've been working my whole life since I'm 16. I'm 57 now. And I'm a lucky man.
Yeah.
And I thank God, Yahweh, and Jesus Christ for my my blessings.
Richard, I was going to say, that's the only thing I would correct is it ain't lucky, it's blessed. And I know we use that term interchangeably. We do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did.
We don't think of it as, you know, it's because you got your lucky four-leaf clover, and you know, because you knocked on the wood three times,
in a spiritual way,
right. And I know we do. I just, you know, that thought comes to mind because I have to correct myself all the time. You know, man, I was lucky today. It's like, no, I was blessed. I was blessed.
Yep.
And
100%.
And when we use that type of terminology with people, I think it opens doors. It opens doors. It opens opportunities. So, well, that's awesome. I'm shooting off a boat even, right? Shooting off a flat bottom boat.
Yep.
Man, that's
a flat boat.
That's balance.
Yeah, we got so much open water and marsh down here too. You know, you can get back up a little bayou back there, and there's nobody around. I mean, for miles. So it's all just marsh.
Nice.
You know, with shoot up high, like I said, you're responsible for your bullets.
That's right.
So you actually shoot at the bank. You get off about 20 yards or so, and you shoot. You could set targets up or whatever right out the boat.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm almost envious, but I'm not to be envious. But oh yeah, that's
because I love the country, man, and I watch all the westerns, and I love that. So I've never been to the Laramie area. I want to go to Medicine Bow. I told you that before.
Sure.
And that area, I want to see that area before my days are done. It's something I got to do.
Yeah.
And I will come visit your church, too.
Good,
I promise
good.
You.
Good, good. Yeah, it's a little different.
And I will meet you in person.
Awesome. Well, Richard, well, I'm about out of time tonight. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Sure been encouraging to me.
And God bless you in the ministry, and just keep on fighting, man.
All right, Richard. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Yeah, what an encouraging phone call. Encouraging for me, that's for sure. Well, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. I hope it's been encouraging for you. And we see these things happening. We know that, yes, we are in perilous times, but we know who wins. And so we are to be overcomers. We are to endure, to do our best to get through these times. I'm going to close with this. Had a tornado in Matador, Texas yesterday. 4 dead, 9 injured. I'd ask you to pray for the people in Matador. Just a tiny little town. I think it's only a few hundred people, 570. 60 miles east, northeast of Lubbock, up in northwestern Texas. And pray for the people there in Matador. Well, Remnant, we invite you to come back Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open 7 a.m. Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. And we hope that you can join us then. Thanks, Remnant, and good night.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.